Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And thank you, Renee. Flowers, I get to call her Renee. My heart, I want to tell you, in a service like this, if you've got any Holy Ghost at all, it's just bouncing everywhere. Can I get a witness on that? I feel strength. I feel faith. I feel anointing. I feel a passion to reach my neighbors like never before. Thank you, Sister Cisco. Wow. And thank you, Sister, my friend Carla Burton from, we're fellow pastor's wives. And thank you to this great district. And you have the best district superintendent and wife that I can think of. Their family. Sister Donna Myers is I quit saying old friend. It's a long-standing, long-time friend. Your committee that put this incredible conference together. And I want to tell you, when you walk into these services and you feel the deep sense of the Holy Ghost, the anointing, there's a flow in the Holy Ghost that's palpable here today. I want you just to stand one more time, and I want us just to lift our hands, and I want us to worship like, I know we've interceded, we've prayed, but can we lift the rafters and say, Jesus, I'm just so thankful I'm here. I'm so thankful that I got to be in this amazing joy conference. God, we're coming boldly to the throne of grace right now to obtain help and mercy, and to worship you and to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Now, God, would you anoint every word that's spoken? Open our hearts. Let us have favor from on high, favor with each other. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. This was not in my notes, but Sister Cisco, you got me so inspired. I have to tell you, I look out here and see some younger ladies, and I want to, in just a couple of minutes, this has nothing to do basically with what I'm going to talk about, but it's all about him. Can I get a witness on that? It's all about him. My dad moved us from a dynamic, fully wonderful church when I was 14 years old into home missions. I called it foreign missions because it was North Dakota. And I could tell you a lot about that, but I'm gonna tell this. God honors obedience. I kept hearing that word this morning, and I heard it last night. God honors our simple obedience. And so as a 14-year-old young lady, we moved to North Dakota, and I came in one day, and I told my dad, I said, I'm done. I can't do this. And he said, we're here in the will of God. And I said, I can't imagine a loving God sending children, innocent children, into this cold 30 below weather. So anyway, you know, people, now in this Metroplex, people drive through Dallas. You pastors get call, pastors' wives, from people, and they're saying, I'm passing through. In Nashville, we get a lot of people coming through, and they'll say, I'm passing through. Folks, nobody ever said, I'm driving through North Fargo, North Dakota. So you know what? I was barely a teenager, and my older brother that was just older, there was five kids at that time, I would hear him in his bedroom praying. And he was bussing tables after he'd do high school. He'd go and bus tables till about 11 o'clock at night. And I would hear him, thank you so much. I would hear him in there travailing. And he was just a teenager. And he would be praying, God, use me, help me to help my dad in this church. We were having services in our living room. And God had helped us find this awesome little clapboard building. And Dad wanted to have a revival. But we couldn't afford an evangelist at that time. And so Mark said, Dad, how about if I preach you a revival? And my dad just chuckled and he said, son, you don't know. It's speaking and carrying the weight of a service. That's intense business. And my brother said, Dad, what are your options? And my dad said, you got a point. We're going to have revival. And my dad, Charles Grisham, some of you know him. He preached a lot of camp meetings and services in Texas through the years. He went out and he got printed up brochures, Sister Kim Cisco, and it said, Teenage Evangelist. Come hear the Teenage Evangelist. And then he got all those little flyers and invitations, and it was child labor. He loaded all of us kids up in the car, went to subdivision after subdivision, and he'd say, Cheryl, you take this street, this street, this street, knock on their door and invite them to the revival. And I'm telling you, the first time I knocked on those doors, I had a pain and nervousness in my stomach that was indescribable. And I said, Dad, what do I mean? This is cold canvassing, you know. And he said, you just knock on that door, tell them your name, invite them to the revival with the teenage evangelist. And you know what? Simple obedience did it. I mean, I was shaking in my boots. I knocked on a couple of doors, and people looked at me with pity. And they're like, God love her. Well, honey, yes, you have a sweet day. But after about four or five doors, mind you, I'm not even driving. I'm a young, barely a teenager. I knocked on a door, and I said, hello, my name is Cheryl Grisham. And I was probably stuttering, so nervous. I said, but our church, my dad just started a little church, and there's not many people, but my brother's going to preach us a revival. It was quite a presentation. He's not even 20 yet, but he loves God, and he prays, and come on out. It was so pitiful. I was the piano player. And y'all don't know how to think about that, but let me tell you, wasn't that great? But God honors obedience. This door opened, and a lady said, well, honey, come on in. And she said, called her husband. She said, Frank, come in here. There's a sweet little girl in here that's invited us to church. They were school teachers. They had five children. And she said, I thought she was just being sweet to me. She said, honey, we've been praying lately that God, we just feel like there's something more than we've ever had. We just feel like there's something more than we've ever had. And she said, we're going to come to church tomorrow. I was sure it was out of pure sympathy. And she just thought, bless her heart. You know what? When we pulled up in front of our church on that Sunday morning, there was a station wagon there, and they kept unloading kids. There were five kids there. Before that Sunday service ended, the mama, the daddy, and the three oldest children were baptized in Jesus' name. Don't tell me God doesn't honor obedience. Amen, amen, amen. The rest of them were baptized when they got old enough. And I'll fast forward because I got to get on to what I'm going to talk about. But to this point today, several of those boys out of that family have become preachers. And they're serving the Lord all over America. God is good. And that gets me right to my point, my scripture today. Our God always causes us to triumph. The Lord has lovingly led these services through to this point, and I'm not going to be lengthy, I don't think, but I just think we need to go out of here knowing that our God is going to cause someone to triumph today. Some of you are looking at me like she has no idea what I'm going through, but can I say this? The other part of my title is, can you trust God with the rest of the story? 2 Corinthians 2:14, I call him Pentecostal Paul because he said, I speak with tongues more than all of you. He said this, now thanks be to God who always, everybody say always, causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now when Paul said that God is going to cause you to triumph, folks, that's a big celebration. And Webster tells us that it's more than just that was good or that was a nice thing. Triumph means it's a victorious, successful win. And you know what? I have read the back of the book, and regardless of what's going on in my life today or yours, we win. We win. Now, I'm going to ask you to kind of do like we do at home. I decided a long time ago, every service that I went to, that I was going to make it count. My worship, It may be uncommon to some people, but I was going to worship with my whole heart. When altar call comes, I get just as close to the altar as I can get because whatever God's got for me, I want it because I'm planning on winning. I'm planning on winning. Now, I'm going to be very direct this morning. I'm talking to people I know who have suffered setbacks this year. We talked about the unsaved children, and that was of God this morning, and health crisis that you've heard, but many of us are looking at the situation halfway through. And my target and my aim, I'm just going to get right to the point, is to remind you that you serve a big, great, and a wonderful God. And He specializes in the impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I used to think that meant, well, cancer, He can do. No. When you pray to God for you to not get something, it's impossible. With God, for you to not get something, it's impossible. In spite of your circumstances, He's going to bless somebody today. In spite of what you're going through, He's going to give double anointing today. It's not over till God says that it's over. It's just not over. I have felt while I was praying at home in Nashville for these services that God, He's going to do several things, but He is going to give someone a divine, miraculous healing today. The children of Israel, because of their lack of faith, they had been delivered from Egyptian bondage, and God kept trying to move them to the promised land, but they kept just having a little trouble believing that God could really do this. Can you imagine doubting God after He had brought them through the Red Sea and they walked through on that dry? Can you imagine? But you know what you and I do? We leave amazing services like we've had. We walk out of these walls, these doors, and say, I just don't know if God can handle my unsaved child. There's going to be a spectacular turnaround today. There's going to be a divine intervention. A divine intervention. A divine intervention. I feel the spirit of prophecy in this conference, and I feel like that we need to start turning to our problems and say, great shall be the answer to this. Great shall be the healing in this matter. Great shall be my child's submission to the will of God. But our obedient God said, you know what, you've got just a little ways to get into the promised land. In Deuteronomy 1, He's trying to tell them, go on. I've given you the land. They stood there and they doubted God and they said, you know what, we just don't know if you can actually do this. And He kept cajoling and giving prophecies and words. I feel that this, if I can use the word pregnant, that this conference, I really do believe this, is pregnant with soul winning and miracles and divine interventions and breakthroughs, breakthroughs, breakthroughs. God said, you know what, if you will act on that obedience, He didn't ask them to subdue the enemy. He said, I'm going to do that. If you'll take that foot, and we're going to end this service in just a few minutes, and we're going to be taking steps of faith and claiming victory and prophesying with every step as we come toward the altar. He said, if you'll obey, I'll open doors for you. He said, is there anything too hard for me? He said, you'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed in the ground. You'll be blessed in your storehouse. You're going to be blessed when you come in. You're going to be blessed when you go out. He said, and besides that, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. But like the children of Israel, you and I are situations. Has anybody got some circumstances today? We're function sometimes under those circumstances. We'll say, how are you doing? Well, pretty good under the circumstances. I know you've heard it before, but how about we just step outside of those circumstances today and say, I believe you can do it again. He filled me with the Holy Ghost at 8 years old. My mother told me I ran to the altar, and I can tell you today, I've never gotten over that. I've never gotten over the fact that out of all the millions and billions of people in this world, that He saw fit to bring the gospel to my household. I wish I had time to tell you everything that He's done. Jeremiah 29 and 11, and this is for everybody here. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're not evil. Fear not. Fear not. We get under the circumstances and under the situations that we're going through and think that God has just done His last miracle. Or that this person in my family, they're too rebellious or they're too far. Or you don't know what the doctor told my family. Can I just tell you what the doctor told me one day after, and I'm going to do the Reader's Digest version. We had just voted as a church family 100%, Sister Burton, to buy a $1 million piece of property. About 2 or 3 days later, my husband was in the hospital having surgery to have some skin cancers removed. And the doctor called me that night, and he used words that I said, Dr. Sanders, I don't use words like that. I'm not used to people talking to me like that. He said, Miss Becton, I've never seen a patient like this. He said, there's an attack on his immune system. And he said, if your husband makes it, he had taken off what he called melanoma. He said, I took off a melanoma. I tested it in the OR. And he said, I will talk to you on Thursday about treatment. He said, but let me tell you, if he makes it, it's going to take you, me, and God working together. And ladies, you know what? I did the only thing I knew to do. After I got everybody bedded down, I went and got my own olive oil. And I went around the house and I anointed the living room, the entrance to every room in the house. And for the first, we have a two-story house, and that first floor I felt kind of awkward, like, I'd say, in Jesus' name, I bind disease and I loose healing. Over the dining room, in Jesus' name, I bind disease and I loose healing. Over the kitchen, in Jesus' name, I bind disease and I loose healing. Over the pantry, I bind disease and I loose healing. I loose faith in this household. And then I was kind of awkward by myself. And when I got upstairs, I was starting to feel it. And then I was going, in Jesus' name, I bind disease and I loose healing. In Jesus' name, I bind strength in this family. I bind healing in this family. I think there's going to be a run on some olive oil tonight. I'm just telling you straight up like it was. Thursday morning, we went in for the consultation, and he took my husband in first. He took some stitches out he'd taken several places over his body. And about 15 minutes, he came out, and he said, we're going to go on. And I said, oh, it's so bad. We're going to another part of the hospital, I guess, to get the news about treatment. And he said, no, we're going to go eat lunch. And I thought, oh, God, this is so bad. That they want us to have, that's honestly what I was thinking. Isn't it something what plays over in our mind? The devil hitchhikes on all of our fear. And I thought, oh, Jesus, you know, we got to go eat lunch to get strong enough to get the report. And I said, and then where do we go when we come back? He said, oh, we're going on to the church. And I thought, I'm so confused. I said, well, what did Dr. Sanders say about the melanoma? He said, Ron, I can't figure this out. He said, I tested it in the OR. I sent it to the pathologist, and he said, he sent it back, and he said, Bob, there's no melanoma in that. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. Shout now. Shout now. Shout now. Declare. I serve a big God. Oh, there's so much healing and there's so much faith in this room, and it's getting ready to explode. He said there wasn't any melanoma in that. You know what? A scared, young, sort of not so young wife at that point, but I was saying, God, I've got to have you. I've got to have you. Psalm 107 and 1 said, for he is good. We forget, and I know I'm talking to people, you could teach and preach it, but we forget he's for us. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Great shall be the peace of your homes. Great shall be the peace of your marriages. Great. We need to quit acting and believing what the enemy puts in our minds. For he is good, David said. Then on down, he said, praise him for his goodness. And then he goes on down and he said, praise him for his excellent goodness. Sometimes our fallen natures and the negative things that happen, the situations, the floods were mentioned. We've had tornadoes. We've had sicknesses. The Lord gave us a little heads up. Because that you have trouble and trials, that's not tantamount to the absence of God. That means he's at work. And he's working, he's refining us. He knows what it takes. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. But let me just say today, don't stop pushing. Don't stop pressing. Don't stop believing. Aren't you so thankful that the apostle, Pentecostal Paul, I mean, he gave us quite a litany of things he had been through. This one that said, I thank my God because he always gives me triumph. You know what triumph means? A spectacular victory. There is going to be spectacular victories already last night and in the altar here, but again in just a moment. How many would like to be a candidate of that? Amen. He said there's going to be triumph. For there to be a triumph, there has to be something to get over or get through or to have a breakthrough on. He said this, of the Jews, 5 times I received stripes. How many think that was a little problem? You know, somebody cuts me off in traffic, and I'm ready to do spiritual warfare. And sometimes it's not too spiritual, it's just warfare. He said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. That's we need a triumph there. Once I was stoned, 3 times I suffered shipwreck. And then he said, besides that, I was in perils in water. That means storms on the sea. That was a major way they traveled then. Perils of robbers, in perils by friends. I think one of the hardest things that happens to any of us is when wrongdoing and hurt comes through people that are supposed to love and protect us. And God's going to heal some of that tonight, today too, in Jesus' name. In perils by the heathens. But he said, you know what? This isn't the end. My God brought me through every one of those, and I triumphed over them. I triumphed over every one of them. He knew in every one of those situations, it wasn't the end of the story. Paul Harvey used to say at a broadcast years ago, my dad listened to it every day. And he'd tell some interesting thing about life or history, and then he would withhold one special nugget of the story, and he'd give it at the very end, and he'd say, and that, my friend, is the... Can you say that loud for me? The rest of the story. Can you say it loudly? The rest of the story. You're getting ready today to find out the rest of the story about some situations. Does anybody have any faith that you'd like to lift your hands right now and say, God, I believe it. I believe faith. Faith is happening. Let faith arise. Let God's enemies be scattered. Chinese bamboo tree. Some of you know this story, this situation, this phenomenon well. After planting it, you see the little seed bulb, you see absolutely nothing except a tiny shoot of a bulb. For 4 years. And so they plant it, they water it, fertilize it, plant it, water it, fertilize it. Nothing is seen above the surface. But under that surface, a giant fibrous root system is being built. And it grows deep, it grows wide. Better everybody say the 5th year is coming. In the 5th year, that Chinese bamboo tree shoots up and grows up to 80 feet. Aren't you glad somebody didn't just come along and go, well, that's the end of that story? They waited for the rest of the story. One of the most spectacular turnarounds in the Bible, and possibly my favorite passage, one of them, I've got several in the Bible, is 2 Chronicles 20. You know that story well. It holds one of the most amazing spiritual breakthroughs. King Jehoshaphat, good king, evidently. He had his lieutenants come to him and say, Jehoshaphat, you have got enemies coming from you, at you from 3 different areas, 3 different territories. I love what Jehoshaphat did. Many people would have gone, you know what? It's been a great life. It's over. You know, this is it. Because we're being surrounded. We're being surrounded by this enemy, this situation. I'm looking into the faces of people that you came here with situations. You've smiled, you've worshiped, you've prayed, you've believed. But you're wondering deep down, how is this the rest of this story going to end? I believe God's going to have a spectacular turnaround. A spectacular turnaround. Jehoshaphat, and if you're taking notes, this is a dynamic recipe for a breakthrough. He didn't start telling God about all his feats in battle and victory. You know what the first thing it says? Jehoshaphat feared. He was honest with God. He said, God, I'm scared. The second thing he did is he set himself to seek the Lord. The third thing he did was he proclaimed a fast. So that's pretty good. Pretty good. Then he unified the efforts of the others in the kingdom to simply seek the Lord. There are times it's wonderful to have creativity, brilliance, and intelligence, but there's some situations only God can bring about the victory. Only God. Only God. I thank God for creative people. I thank God for doctors that have stayed in school and studied and could give us wisdom. But a good doctor will tell you that healing belongs to God. They just help. So Jehoshaphat, he feared. He set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast. He unified the people around him. And then I love this. Get this picture. It says that he brought all of the children of Israel together. And he said, let's just stand before the Lord and let's cry out to him. I think in pictures sometime, and I weep when I read this. It talks about Jehoshaphat. He brought all of them after that fasting and that prayer. And he said, folks, I want us just to stand in the presence of the Lord. I want us just to start thanking him for all he's ever done for us. And you know, in fact, why don't you just go ahead and stand right now? Because God is starting to move. I want you to stand. And I want you to put yourself in Jehoshaphat's frame of mind and his spirit. Jehoshaphat, the Lord said, the Bible says that he began to pray one of the most poignant prayers ever. He started by recounting and thanking God for everything that he could think of that he had ever done for him. He said, I want to thank you, Lord, that time when you brought us through. I want to thank you for that time when our backs were against the wall. I want to thank you, God. They didn't know but whether extinction was upon them. But your praise is powerful. Your praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. And young people tell me sometimes, they'll say, Sister Becton, help me find the will of God. I said, get into praise because that's his address. That's his address. That's where he lives. Just start praising him. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He started praising. I want our musicians to go ahead and come because we're going to start praising him in just a very few minutes. They started praying and thanking God. And then it says the women, he brought the women in and he brought the small children. The family stood together and they just cried and they wept before God. And the Bible says that Jehoshaphat put his face on the ground. There is a power, ladies, in humbling yourself before God. We try to put our best foot forward with people, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's times that we need to say, God, I have no might. I have no might against this situation. I have no ingenuity against this situation, but thou knowest. And Jehoshaphat said that. He said, you know what, God, we have no might against this great invasion. We don't know what to do. So they stood. You're standing. They prayed. We're going to pray in just a moment. I know fasting and prayer has gone into this conference. There is a perfect spirit of unity in this conference. And can I say this? Protect that with everything you have within you. I grew up in a household that I never heard my mom and dad speak ill of anybody, especially the preacher, the pastor, and his wife. So I grew up, that's a foreign language to me. And you know what, ladies? I am so thankful. That was extra. Don't you appreciate that? I put that in there. Jehoshaphat said this. All of our eyes, our faith, our might, our strength, it's all up in you, Lord. Only you can do this. Then, I love this. The Bible says, then upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord. And those immortal, powerful, prophetic words that are still coming to us in 2019. He spoke with the authority and the clarity and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And he said, be not afraid. Be not dismayed because there are so many. For the battle is not yours. It's God's. It's God's. Can you lift your hands and say, it's God's? This battle is not mine. Thank you, Sister Cisco, for reminding people that have prayed and done their best to win souls and train children. Some of you are carrying guilt that's not yours. People have free will, but you know what? We can pray them back. God can subdue that will. Jehoshaphat bowed his head to the ground, and the children of Israel, they fell. I don't know how you're going to do it today. You may fall, you may stand, you may kneel. I don't know. But they chose to just fall before the Lord, and they started saying, oh, God, we're out of here if you don't help us. And then Jehoshaphat gave them the most unusual battle plan. You know, when something goes wrong in our lives, ladies, sometimes don't we kind of tank up and go, well, if I get a word, I'm gonna say three honest people here today. I'm so thankful for it. We think we've got to talk, you know, I'm gonna tell. God took care of that problem. He said, this is how it's gonna be. I'm gonna appoint singers to go out, and they're gonna lead the way, and they're gonna lead the battle here in just a minute. And we're gonna start saying, praise God, his mercy endures forever. He said, I want the choir, I want the singers to go out first. The Lord gave him the battle plan and start marching and saying, this is an unusual battle plan. Praise God, his mercy endures forever. 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 Unusual battle plan, but guess what? It worked. The Bible said that's all they did. They started singing and saying, praise God, his mercy endures forever. You know what happened? God confounded and confused those three enemies' camps. Two of them started fighting the third opponent of Jehoshaphat and wiped him out. And then guess what happened? They beat those two that fought that third enemy. They got confused and confounded. Praise God, his mercy endures forever. They started fighting, killing each other. They wiped each other out. You don't have to fight fire with fire. Praise God, his mercy endures forever. Is anybody believing what I'm saying today? Is anybody believing that he can still bring about victory? He can still bring about clarity. Before we march to this altar and say, praise God, his mercy endures forever, I want to tell you a very personal story quickly. I'm one of six children. And many people have come to me and they said, oh, you wouldn't understand this because your family was always in church. And you don't know the rest of the story. My dad was a backslidden Pentecostal boy. I don't have time to go through all the details, but his dad had left them and left a precious woman of God, Fern Grisham, to raise four preteen children. And she started seeking God and saying, God, I can't do it on my own. That's a story within itself. But when Dad got about 16, he just felt detached from the church, detached from the will and the purpose of God. And he went far away from God. And he met my mother at 17 years old, and she was the ripe age of 16. And she said, we were just two little heathens. And she said they got the bright eye after knowing each other for about 3 weeks. They'd run away and get married. That's the rest of the story. Some of y'all didn't know. And they went home and lived in their homes as if they were just still teenage kids at home. And somebody blew the whistle on them. And so it was told Charles and Francis are married. Well, then my dad started waking up and going, wow. I don't have a Christian wife. I'm not going to have a godly home. This is an unusual story I'm telling. And he started telling my mother, he said, you need the Holy Ghost. She was raised Christian Science. That's a look into that. But it's unusual. And she said, I thought, holy what? Ghost? I don't want a ghost. And I mean, that's how when we witness to people, sometimes they don't have a clue what we're talking about. But she said, because he was so high on his church, he took me to church. And the second time she was in the Pentecostal church, our home church, she was gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. Gloriously filled. She's a soul winner. When I was a kid, we'd go to gas stations, and I'd say, Mother, don't ask them if they have the Holy Ghost till they put the gas in the car. All of us kids, we'd say, she'd roll down the window back when I was a kid, fill it up with regular and wash the windshield and all. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they're going, excuse me, ma'am, what? But she wanted everybody to receive the Holy Ghost. But back to when the night she got the Holy Ghost, I wish I could tell you that my dad prayed through on that same night. But mother lived for God 4.5 years without him, and him very backslidden. And she said he was doing everything he could think of. And she said, in my family, when those things happened, we divorced and left. And she said, I went to my pastor and said, Brother Williams, I'm leaving. I'm divorcing Charles. She had 3 children at that time. And he said, oh, no, you're not. You know, back in the day, they didn't coddle people. She said, well, what do you expect me to do? And he said, I expect you to pray and fast till God brings Charles in. It's an unusual story. It's a story. And she said, I was so new in the Lord that I didn't know that I could drink water and fast. But for 1 week, close to a week, she said, I would take the children, the 3 children, up to the church. And I'd find in the daytime a Sunday school room that wasn't being used. And I fasted and prayed, and I would just travail. At the end of that week, my dad came in from work, and my oldest sister, the ball and jack, she picked up that jack, little petite, little 4.5-year-old. She swallowed it, and it lodged right here. And she was, they said, her eyes were rolling back in her head, and she was dying. They didn't have time to take her to the ER. And my dad runs to the phone. Phones are on the wall with the cord, and he called the old prophet in our church, Brother McCutcheon. He said, Brother McCutcheon, my baby's dying. Terry's dying. Pray for me. And Brother McCutcheon said, Charles, are you going to live for God? He said, you're misunderstanding, Brother McCutcheon. It's not about me. It's about my little girl. She's dying. He said, no, you misunderstand. And it's about you. Are you going to live for God? I'm fixing to pray the prayer of faith. He said, and God's going to raise her up, but you got to give me your word. You're going to live for God. Mother, prayer and fasting still works, folks. It still works. And so mother tells the story that he fell on his knees and began to repent and cry out to God. And she said he spoke in tongues for hours. And she said he never missed a lick or a service after that. God called him into the ministry. And he died in 2015, but he was still preaching and teaching up until his final days when he could function at all. And guess what? They were teaching marriage and family life centers all over the world. Ha ha, devil. The Lord can take the greatest source of your pain and the greatest source of your discouragement today and turn that thing around with his mercy. And the rest of the story can be such a spectacular ending that it will confound everybody around you. Do you believe that right now? I want you to lift your hands and start praising him. Thank you, Jesus. I bless your name, God. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Great shall be the peace here today. Great shall be the strength and the anointing. In the name of the Lord. I understand that I am standing between you and lunch, but we're going to have victory in the altar. And you know what? It can happen suddenly. So as faith begins to rise in your heart, start toward this altar and say, praise God, his mercy endures forever. Step out from where you are. If you've got unsaved children, if you've got an unsaved husband, if you've got a bad doctor's report, praise God, his mercy endures. It endures. It endures.